Speaking of food that's locally grown and produced here in Georgia, though, watermelon season is just about over. We only have a month left in summer, period. But if you were planning to enjoy one of those sweet, succulent red treats, your time is running out. The watermelon was once a symbol of pride for freed slaves in the South. It has since taken on all kinds of racial meanings, and we wanted to explore why that is. Pat Turner joins us. She's a professor of African American Studies at the University of California, Los Angeles, and author of the book Ceramic Uncles and Celluloid Mammies, Black Images and Their Influence. Pat, it's good to have you.
It's good to be here.
Watermelon, when did the change occur, by the way, in between watermelon being something that Mark Twain praised in his writing and people just talked about a delicious fruit to something that is associated with a particular race?
Well, I think that the association of blacks and watermelons really dates to the minstrel era in the middle of the 19th century. This is the time period where the most popular stage shows involved white men dressing up in blackface and mocking and deriding black life as they perceived it in the South. They would exaggerate the size of their lips, the clothes would be sloppy and slovenly, and these stage shows became enormously popular, really through the end of the 19th century, past the Civil War, and there was a whole subset of them called Tom shows, which were modifications of Uncle Tom's Cabin that became musicals and were really popular.
And it became the watermelon became part of those minstrel shows. Why?
Well, food became part of the way in which popular culture could convey an image of blacks as savage. So any food that you could eat with your hands, watermelon, fried chicken, corn on the cob, these were the foods that were given to denote African-American characters as not having the civility that comes with eating with utensils.
This has become a controversy. Before we get to some of the more modern controversies, let's go back to the 1970s and hear a little bit of the TV show All in the Family. And in the scene, not surprisingly, it was his character, Archie Bunker, is expressing his distaste over integration in his neighborhood.
Archie, 12% of the population is black. There should be a lot of black families living out here.
Yeah, this is only a beginning, but I think it's wonderful.
Wonderful, huh? Well, let's see how wonderful it is when a watermelon rinds come flying out the window.
How did we get to the point where that became ubiquitous? Any ideas? Because we went from minstrel shows until we get to the 1970s, where you don't even have to explain the racist joke.
Yeah, it never subsided. And when I say minstrel shows in the 19th century, think about the most popular tweeters today. You know, think about when you think about popular culture, this was on the covers of sheet music, when sheet music was a primary way in which people communicated music. I have to explain this to my students, that before people even bought records, they bought sheet music because you played music yourself on your piano at home, the covers of which had blacks sitting on watermelons, spitting watermelon seeds. So it goes from one generation of popular culture item to another, all the way up and through All in the Family.
I want to play two clips for you, if I could. And we're speaking with Pat Turner, professor of African American Studies at UCLA, about watermelon and how it became a stereotype for a particular race. So in 2014, the Boston Herald published a cartoon, and it was the cartoon was actually about security breaches at the White House, but it featured the President Obama, brushing his teeth, and there's an intruder in the White House who asks the president, have you tried the new watermelon-flavored toothpaste? That caused an uproar, and the cartoonist Jerry Holbert told WMUR-TV that it never occurred to him people would see that as racist.
I just think watermelon's a flavor. It's a popular flavor right now, and that I would go ahead and use it. And maybe this is very naive, and I'm sure that it is. It's very naive on my part, but I just don't think like that. And I really didn't think other people thought like that, especially up here in the Northeast.
So let's contrast that, a white cartoonist explaining that he never, never occurred to him to think of a watermelon as racist, with comic Phoebe Robinson, who says she avoids eating watermelon around white people. She's speaking here with WNYC's podcast, The Sporkful.
So I was in Whole Foods, and I was in the checkout line. They had like this thing called like watermelon juice, and I felt like they were mocking me. Like, I can't put that in my cart because everyone who goes to like Yoga to the People will think that's what black people do. Right. So I'm like, I'm going to leave that there, but I can't do it. Like, when I dated my ex, he was white. I dated for 4 years. I never ate watermelon in front of him.
When we talk about the watermelon as a symbol for black culture, is that something that there is a racial divide even on how we perceive that?
I think it can be. I do think that reporter was probably correct in his self-assessment that he was particularly naive. You know, if he's a professional journalist, I think he ought to be a little bit more in touch with certain things than that was indicated. But African Americans, many of us grow up being taught from our earliest days how to avoid conforming to the negative stereotypes that our parents and grandparents had to deal with. So the comedian had heard from her parents about the days in which it was far more ubiquitous and all of the things, and not eating watermelon is just one in an inventory of things. You know, don't be late and, you know, make sure your hair is neat and use proper English and walk proudly. A whole inventory of behaviors that are intended to negate any holdover of the negative stereotypes.
And you grew up eating watermelon with
a fork. My father grew watermelon.
But you didn't eat it with your hands.
Well, my mother, we didn't eat it with our hands around white people. We ate it with our hands within our own circle, but I grew up in a fairly integrated setting, so there were times when, you know, we had white guests. We were a little bit actually unusual, you know, considering it was the 60s and 70s. So there was a little bit more integration in my community than there is in many. But anytime there would have been a white guest, the option of putting watermelon on a plate and having a fork to eat it would definitely have been there.
And we have this tweet from Kalina who says, I've talked openly of my love for watermelon in the break room. It's extremely healthy, healthful, and delicious. I'd never be ashamed of it. And then Black Physicist tweets, I love watermelon, and I don't care what the people say. It's really good as a cold summer soup and with mint and feta in a salad. I can say watermelon with feta is just delicious.
I agree. I make watermelon with feta myself these days. But I serve it with a fork, because how can you eat the feta without
you can't.
A fork?
Yeah, you need the fork.
Yeah.
But Pat, are we coming to the point, especially when we have to look back through history and go back as far as minstrel shows to trace this tradition, are we now getting to the point where this particular stereotype might be ready to die out within a generation or so?
I think it's possible. It's often hard to for stereotypes to die. You know, if you or your listeners Google, you know, put Obama and watermelon in Google Images, you will come up with lots of very contemporary cartoons making that association with him. You know, there's something very, very tenacious about stereotypes and about derogatory images that makes them very hard to eradicate completely.
Yeah, I just did that. I Googled Obama watermelon in Google Images, and I don't actually recommend that to anybody else.
And you'll be able to fill in with the next prominent African American celebrity public figure. You know, it just goes from one generation to the next.
Meaning that it's not just Obama.
Yeah.
Pat Turner is a professor of African American Studies at the University of California, Los Angeles, author of the book Ceramic Uncles and Celluloid Mammies, Black Images and Their Influences. Pat, thanks so much for waking up early for us.
Thank you.
That is our show for today, but watermelon is not the only fruit that will soon be out of season. As I mentioned, we are very close to the end of summer completely. So we're almost ready for the fall, and I want to know what your favorite autumn food is. What do you look forward to eating every single fall? Call us at 404-500-9457. You can leave a message there. Hopefully it's not pumpkin spice. We're on Twitter at OST Talk or post to Facebook. I'm kidding. If you love pumpkin spice, tell us. We're happy to hear that as well. For today, that's On Second Thought from GBB News. I'm Celeste Headlee. Have a great day.